October, and we were talking about what we're seeing heading into Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and October seemed pretty tough compared to previous years. What we were saying on that podcast is basically we don't think people should really take their foot off the gas, and they should still be doing all the Black Friday, Cyber Monday prep they would usually do, spend majority on prospecting. And I think that really did ring true. The brands that ended up doing the best really did keep their foot down and press on the gas while CPMs were a little bit lower, while cost per click was a little bit lower.
It's classic to try to make your offer punchy, but saw a signal of that being potentially more important this year than past years. And that doesn't necessarily just mean discount. We saw success with product launches or drops going a little bit away from like a standard kind of promo offer or layering in secret style deal type elements.
If you're a D2C brand on Shopify and you're not using Black Crow, then you're leaving significant revenue on the table. Black Crow uses your own data to help you identify customers returning to your site who would otherwise remain anonymous. The more customers you can identify, the more email and SMS abandonment messages you can send. You'll see incremental revenue almost immediately without having to change any of your existing flows. The best part? All it takes is a one-click integration. There's zero development work required. Head on over to blackcrow.ai/DTC to get started with a free 30-day trial.
It's all killer, no filler. I'm Eric, and I am here with Pilot House's Meta, Brain Trust, Taylor, and Nate. Here for a quick recap on Black Friday, Cyber Monday on the socials team. So, high level, guys, how was Black Friday, Cyber Monday 2023?
I'd say it was an interesting year for sure. I think it was better than expected in some ways. It was definitely a different year than past years, I think. Like it definitely felt like there was a lot more planning in the buildup and then a lot of pretty heavy kind of work even being done in real time to navigate some of the different shifts we saw. Some really interesting patterns. We were noticing that we're backed out by some insights from our Meta rep as well, which we'll dig into, but yeah, it was definitely the takeaway for me on the buying front was definitely an interesting year, but a lot of growth to tap into nonetheless.
I think that's a good point about, you know, the huge amount of prep that went into this year, but then on the day of, it's kind of all hands on studio, all hands on console, and making changes kind of right up until the end, which is interesting. Nate, what did you see?
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked in October pre-Black Friday, and we were chatting like on the podcast too, and we were talking about what we're seeing kind of heading into Black Friday, Cyber Monday. And I think a lot of brands went into November coming off a pretty slow month. Like October seemed pretty tough compared to previous years for a lot of the brands that are in our space. And what we were saying on that podcast is basically that we don't think people should really take their foot off the gas, and they should still be doing all the Black Friday, Cyber Monday prep they would usually do, spend majority on prospecting. And I think that really did ring true when Black Friday, Cyber Monday actually came. I think the brands that ended up doing the best really did keep their foot down and pressed on the gas while CPMs were a little bit lower, while cost per click was a little bit lower, and, you know, filling their top of funnel, and then were able to squeeze everything out over the weekend. So I think that that strategy that we chatted through about a month or so ago, maybe a month and a half now, I think that really did pay off for a lot of brands.
Cool. Cam, welcome to the podcast. Long time since you've been on. I think it's apropos. We won't get into it right now, but of course, you've just recently launched the D2C education brand in partnership with Pilot House, where we've got Scale School available on our website right now, where you can learn from Nate and Taylor. We'll have to do a dedicated podcast a bit more on that. But for now, let's talk about some of the, what about ASC? Advantage Plus shopping campaigns are a huge, huge priority of Meta. And I know in our recent meeting with our rep, they really emphasized how well it worked across the board. What did we actually see in our campaigns, Taylor?
Yeah, so ASC is an interesting one. So I'm a big believer that you can definitely find great results with ASC, and it's a valuable part of your campaign pillars, essentially within any account that you're working within. We heard from contacts at Meta that the adoption rate was really high. Lots of brands leaned on it pretty heavily, which is what we expected. But from reviewing the data kind of in different places, mixed results as kind of with anything. So we use third-party attribution platforms. You know, it tends to vary brand by brand as to what we're using, but they're a pretty common part of our process. And I think a takeaway with ASC was feeling like it's definitely the right call to consider how those look and those sources as well as you triangulate the data and make those decisions, just given, even from what I've seen at times, like the delivery pattern tends to be creative forward, which is great, but you might, like from places where I can see new visit percentages tracked and different things like that, we do tend to see differences depending on the messaging in the ad. So it's interesting. They're mixed kind of results when we look at some of those other sources, but generally a valuable part of our success strategy for our brands.
That's interesting. It's almost like when people come from those more programmatic ads, they tend to behave in certain ways. They bounce quicker maybe, or they're not as committed to the page as if they, on a real good old fashioned ad, if they clicked on that.
Yeah, there's potentially signal that can happen with delivery from that campaign type. Yeah, it's interesting. It's a bit of a case by case. And I think like my recommendation is always to kind of treat it that way and make sure it's part of your menu of campaigns, so to speak, or what you're doing in your structure, but to be careful with it just because there's nuance to it. There's less control. There's other elements like that can be really valuable at a time to tap into like a broader, more efficient kind of push like this. But also those layers of control can be pretty powerful as well.
Very cool. What else really cranked in terms of like, tell us a client story without telling us the brand. What's our best client results that we achieved this year, would you say, on the Meta side?
That's a good question. We saw clients with 1,000% growth year over year, which is pretty huge. Obviously, there's context that needs to be unpacked there. Just heading into this Black Friday, Cyber Monday, they had scaled up quite a lot already. But we saw, you know, multiple, 100%, 200% growth year over year accounts, which was really, really cool to see. I don't know if I could pinpoint one specific, but.
So, I mean, by the time people will be listening to this, Black Friday, I guess, is be 2 weekends behind if we're rolling into the month of December now. So I'm curious if you can unpack how the weekend unfolded for a lot of the partners that we're working with. And now that we're a week into December, what brands are seeing in terms of if they're keeping momentum up or if it's falling off?
Yeah, it's a great question. So the weekend itself was really interesting this year. It looked like it varied a little bit depending on, you know, brand to brand, industry, as you would expect. From reviewing some different insights we gained within our network as well, we heard that from Meta's perspective, it was a softer Black Friday, at least initially, from the initial data that they had in terms of revenue than past years, but the interest was high. So that's going to look at things like click-through rate and different details like that, looking at year over year. But a really, really strong Cyber Monday, but general takeaway was opportunity for growth at different points, kind of depending on how you were navigating, which was really interesting for, I know for me, I felt like I was making a higher frequency of optimizations and strategic moves throughout the weekend, even versus past years. Coming into December, mixed results for sure. A lot of cases where we are riding that momentum and we gain learnings. I think there are notable points where we leveraged a lot of creative insights to then flip into evergreen strategies before you hit those peak shipping deadlines. So that's been a big success across a lot of our brands, leveraging creative styles that we could flip into the period coming out or extending offers and things like that. But definitely a little bit mixed in terms of the result. Definitely some places too where, you know, there's signs of potentially softer intent and stuff like that.
It makes sense that you'd get people, you know, the interest is always there. And then people are just really looking, making sure they're getting that best deal, or they're thinking about what they're going to spend their money on this year. So they might click on a bunch of things and then sort of go into that decision funnel.
Also, I also think there's some network effects here. Like Clifford was talking about how Amazon released their Black Friday sales earlier this year, and the week leading up to Black Friday was a really busy one. And I think buyer intent and interest to make those purchases during that 2 week period is obviously super, super high, but it feels like that Black Friday, Cyber Monday weekend is getting spread out over those 2 weeks, and Meta is just scooping people up like over a longer period of time versus all those sales being isolated within the weekend or even on Black Friday.
What was this other trend you noticed as well, Taylor, around the offers that you saw working? Like the way that people were sort of pattern interrupting with their offers rather than just doing discounts or BOGOs?
Yeah, we definitely noticed a pattern of some sort of, it's classic to try to make your offer punchy and resonate really well. But saw a signal of that being potentially more important this year than past years. And that doesn't necessarily just mean discount. We saw success with different strategies like product launches or drops over that weekend, going a little bit away from like a standard kind of promo offer or layering in like special secret style deal type elements. That was a valuable part of some of the strategies that we had. And some of that was shifting on the fly on the weekend, even just as we were navigating data. So I think it's really interesting. I think for next year, it does present a big opportunity for a lot of brands to consider that in their planning and the buildup. What can they offer their audience that's unique about this and really drives home the need to buy that right now and the excitement to buy that right now?
And you just want as many arrows in your quiver as you can. It was funny. I was even just talking with the Amazon team about needing to make sure you've got every one of your promotion categories filled at all times so that they fire when Amazon's ready to fire them. And the same is true of your promotions, that you have as many kind of looks that you can be ready to deploy on those days for reasons, customer touch points, right? So if you're launching products, it's just another authentic way that you can connect with your customer during that time, drive more sales.
Yeah, like we're big believers in using other relatively comparable moments to try to set yourself up to then have an entire plan of your hard launch, your contingency elements, all of those things together coming into the weekend. So a good example is using Labor Day to test offers and see how that resonates. Or like with product strategy, considering maybe bringing back favorite products or something like that into the drop period. There's different things you can do like that to try to increase the confidence and keep things in your back pocket in case things do shift, as unexpected things can come up for sure.
Sorry, one sec. Just scrolling through my inbox right now and reading some banger texts like this recipe from Graza, this sale reminder from Brooklyn, and oh yeah, this gift guide from Dr. Squatch. What do all these brands have in common? They all use PostScript for their SMS marketing. PostScript is on a mission to make SMS the number one revenue channel for e-commerce merchants by delivering an easy-to-use platform where they can grow their subscriber list, develop and test their messaging strategy, deliver excellent customer service, and drive sales and loyalty all in one place. Over 12,000 merchants are using PostScript in their tech stack, and you should too. Visit postscript.io/DTC to receive an exclusive offer. Taylor, you had a shout out here just about credit and about basically how, you know, in our conversation with our rep, they mentioned there were no major outages this year, which is a good thing, as there have been in past years when their system is load tested the way it is during Black Friday, Cyber Monday. But that credit issues were the only kind of issues where people unexpectedly ran out of credit or had credit cards go down at specific times. What was your experience with this, and what's your suggestion to any Meta people who might be listening?
Yeah, so I think it's important to plan that really early. And like one thing I think that we learned was that credit limits can change unexpectedly too, based on what you might understand going into it. So it's valuable to do your due diligence and just be ahead of the game on that, like months out. From what we heard with our contacts at Meta as well, there weren't really any systems bugs per se, but more challenges with credit this year, which I thought was an interesting pattern. And just provides a helpful reminder to get way out ahead of that next year as well.
I would add to that that there's also kind of multiple layers to the credit piece. There's obviously, you know, if you've got an account on invoicing, there's that level of it. Like what are your actual invoicing thresholds? But then there's also obviously your credit card credit limits that you should be double checking if you're using credit card billing. And then kind of a third layer is ad account spend limits that I feel like people often forget to check, or somebody else used to run the ad account and they had a spend limit set on a monthly basis or, you know, a daily basis. And so you end up hitting one of those when you need to be able to spend a lot more. So yeah, I would just make sure to check all of those things heading into big periods like this. And even through Christmas and, you know, through the rest of the holidays, I think there's going to be some opportunities to spend quite a lot. And so you want to make sure you've got the available money there to do so.
Yeah, that speaks to something else I've heard a lot out there, which is how critical it's been this year to be able to spend as much as you need to spend at times when it's cheaper, so that you can fill your funnel for times that are now. So really effective, you know, marketing spend budgeting along with, you know, inventory budgeting, and really, really dialing that in this year. Is that something you guys see across our biggest accounts?
Yeah, I mean, from a high level, if you look at like the last 2 weeks of November versus October as a whole, I think CPMs went up something like you know, 55 to 60% across, you know, we're looking at a couple hundred brands here, 55 to 60% increase in CPMs. Obviously, conversion rate increases a lot as well, but it in most cases doesn't increase proportionally to that 60% increase in on-platform cost that you're going to see through, you know, the Black Friday, Cyber Monday weekend, and even the couple weeks leading up. So I think, like we mentioned on the podcast, I think a month or so ago, it was so important to fill the bucket up in that time when things are 60%, you know, less expensive, and make sure that you're using Black Friday, Cyber Monday to convert people and not try to drive only net new people into the funnel. Obviously, you should still be doing that as well, but you need to be able to shift to more retargeting. You know, leverage email more, leverage Google more, and squeeze the rag in ways other than just trying to pump top of funnel meta spend.
Very cool. All right. Now we have to talk about something that kind of set the D2C world on fire this weekend. We're all just sitting there, you know, at home doing our weekend stuff and checking to Twitter. And then Zach Stuck from Homestead, he's running a bunch of brands, great guy. He chose violence. And he said, "People who say CPCs don't matter are a bunch of clowns," clown emoji. "Cost traffic X conversion rate equals cost per acquisition. If your traffic cost doubles, your conversion rate needs to double to maintain the same CPA. How likely is that to happen, especially at scale? It's not." And so this, and then from there, it's got 134,000 impressions. You guys got to go find it online if you haven't seen it yet, because there are a number of D2C celebrities who've all chimed in. First and foremost was Barry Hot, who just says, "You, sir, are the clown," in not as so many words. But I'm curious, it's an interesting thing to posit. He does have a point about your rising costs, but Taylor, what's your take on this situation? Do CPCs matter?
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation to me. Because I think like context is key with something like this. At the end of the day, that's correct. Like, right. Like the formula is CPC, like your cost is a huge part of like what your return is going to be based on those revenue factors. But at the same time, when you optimize for conversions on Meta, it's going to go and leverage like a multitude of signals, timing, you know, what placement you're delivering that on, a higher quality, lower quality, all these types of elements together to try to serve that to drive your end goal, which if you set as conversions is a conversion, and it's going to try to do it at the lowest cost it can. I think when it comes down to it, the important part here is really focusing on a lot of the whys behind things. Like for me, you know, I'm going to always have CPC as a signal I'm referring to as part of my signal mix. It might not be top of the waterfall for me a lot of the time, but it depends on what I'm looking at and the relative context of everything, even getting into the mix of channels in play. And is this a prospecting ad or a retargeting ad? Like, how does that play out to the whole system we're running? So I think when it comes down to it, it's part of the story. It's an easy thing to kind of get fixated on, but I think it's most valuable to think about where it fits into the story and what that whole story looks like, and then how do we improve performance based on that whole story.
Because every single ad impression is mapped dynamically and is going to have a value based on a million factors, like chief among, like if they're at the bottom of the funnel, it's going to be a much more valuable impression. It's going to cost a lot more and it will convert a lot higher. You're not going to be able to say on aggregate that if you're cost of click doubles, your conversion rate will double. If that happens, your campaign will likely fail. But on a moment-to-moment basis, to try to pin down clicks as a leading indicator isn't going to work. It's more of a following indicator. It's part of the puzzle. And I know it's something we talk about all the time, is a good segue into Scale School, the course that teaches the pilot method, which is very simply our method of kind of going through and isolating variables in ads, starting with angles, kind of going through variable by variable to create ads that work well and convert. And I know we use CPCs at small budgets to find those early initial, you know, signals as to whether people are interested in a particular headline or particular ad image. So it's definitely something we use. It's just not something we'd probably hinge a whole campaign on.
Yeah, because I think what everybody was trying to get at, or the people that say CPCs don't matter get at, is, you know, if you have a $1.50 cost per click, but your conversion rate on that traffic is lower, and so your cost per acquisition is $30, and then you have an ad that has a $3 cost per click, but your conversion rate on that is way higher, you could literally be sending to the same landing page and that could be happening because of the quality of the traffic that ad is is driving. So if on that second ad with a $3 cost per click, your cost per acquisition is only $20, obviously that's a better case despite having double the cost per click. And that's something that you do see on Meta from time to time. In my opinion, it's at the end of the day, what matters is cost per acquisition. And yes, cost per click matters as an indicator to look at because it can help you gauge how well your ad is resonating with the audience that you're targeting. But it also can help you gauge the quality of your traffic. Quite often, lower cost per click means lower quality traffic and therefore lower conversion rate. So I think there's super valid points from both ends. And I think, like Taylor said, it all comes down to context. And at the end of the day, looking at cost per click as one piece of the puzzle that kind of fits into the funnel.
I think if you want to be a Chad media buyer and not a Virgin media buyer, CPCs don't matter to Chad media buyers. Is that fair to say? They matter less to Chad media buyers because they just hit the spend button with their great hairstyles.
Yep. If I say that copy or copy two at the end of my naming convention on the campaign, then I'm just not even going to look at CPC.
Yeah. Nice. Cool. Anything to add here, Cam? I know, add a note about what's going on with Scale Skills, because not only do we have this video course, we also have this insane offer where you get to come to live office hours once or twice, is it twice a month? With the Brain Trust here at Pilot House Meta. If you have any questions, and what it's starting to morph into are these incredible sessions where we're actually like group problem solving individual people's problems. We're actually coming up with like live pilot tests that we're helping people kind of put together in their ad campaigns. We're going to follow up with some results soon. Cam, talk a little bit about what you're building over at Scale School.
Yeah, I think you did a pretty good pitch for Taylor's last session on the pilot test, but we're running two 60-minute sessions per month that goes beyond what we're offering like in video course material within Scale School. So both Nate and Taylor contributed modules or sections within the courses that we've built, which is fantastic. I'd recommend everyone check it out if they're looking to level up their meta ad skills and knowledge. But I think if you're truly passionate about your business, the agency that you're working with or own, or just your general growth path with meta ads, I think these sessions are kind of like taking a lot. They're morphing into this really cool thing. Taylor did such an awesome job last week, about a 25 kind of minute lesson walkthrough of what the pilot test is and kind of helped people understand how to use things like CPC as a metric and you're gauging what is working and was not working as you're isolating variables like angle, copy, headlines, et cetera. And they're just extremely valuable sessions. So I think the course material is valuable, yes, but for such a low cost over an annualized period of time, these sessions are so awesome. And really what we're trying to build is a community of the best meta marketers in the world, put them all in the same room or figure out a way to build a community where they can share their knowledge with one another. And more importantly, if you're looking for advice, you can collaborate and learn from the Pilot House team.
I love it. And what I see a lot of like education fail because it's someone who makes a course and then they just go to focus on selling it. Whereas we're this like holistic organization, like media company / agency, we need to keep that course updated when it comes to, helping train new staff on it, for instance. So this partnership between us creates like a living course where we're not going to let it get outdated. We're going to keep it, once you get in, you get access to it all. And then with this crazy like 12-month deal where you get access to all of these individual sessions, I think we'll look back on it and be like the value we gave in that first year was pretty off the charts. And I'm really excited for what it's going to become as an organization. What are we actually driving people to here? Like Audioly, it's
just check out the education page on our website, and then all the information is there for you to check out.
If you do it quick enough, our Black Friday prices are still available. By the time you hear this, they might be down, but right now they're still available. So you'll wish you had a time machine.
Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge.
Wink, wink. Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you're not getting the D2C newsletter, you can subscribe for free at directtoconsumer.co. And if you want to learn more about Pilot House's all-killer, no-filler services, take off to pilothouse.co. I'm Eric Dick, and this has been the D2C Podcast. We'll see you next time.